The 45th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum kicks off in Davos, Switzerland tomorrow. Thousands of delegates from more than 100 countries are descending on the ski resort to spend 4 days discussing money and politics. Tom Keane arrived in Switzerland yesterday. He's host of Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio and Television. He's with us from Davos. Welcome.
It's great to be with you. It's another exciting year here.
Well, tell us more about what this year is all about at Davos.
It's about going off the script. I looked at the panel selection, Jeremy, three, four, 5 weeks ago, and I thought, well, this is boring, and it's important issues. Don't get me wrong. Diversity, they're finally beginning to talk about gay issues here, which is a big change. But as usual, about once every 5 years, all of it gets pushed aside. This is one of those years. I think it goes back to January of 2009. You've got all sorts of economic and financial issues, including that collapse in oil.
Well, you say that this is the most interesting year since 2009, and that, of course, the world was in the middle of an economic collapse. What is the economic picture this year?
There's a number of issues, but the broad one is identified by Christine Lagarde and the IMF as a new mediocre. This global slowdown with the IMF today putting out and marking down their GDP reports for many countries. That's the backdrop. But more than that is the financial side of economics, which is lower interest rates. How low can they go? And this idea, really an extension of that liquidity trap idea. We've been trapped for 7 years. Maybe the traps change, but it's still a great distortion of finance, none more than the Swiss National Bank a few days ago unpegging, and that's caused great shock within the system, and that's what people will be focused on.
And what you're talking about is that they unpegged the Swiss franc to the euro, and therefore the Swiss franc shot up in value, making it much more expensive for people to come into, people like you, by the way, to come into Switzerland with currency from outside. It shot up the cost by about 20%.
Well, it did. And, you know, I report, you decide. I'm pleased to report, Jeremy, that I had a number two value meal at the McDonald's next to our Zurich News Bureau, and it came in at $14.93.
Oh, wow.
For a cheeseburger, a small fries, and a Coke. Tasted great. not that I don't eat at McDonald's. The McDonald's at Route 24 at $4.95 is the one I love the best. Anyways, you know, there it is in Zurich, but you see the Swiss export economy. They are crushed by a stronger Swiss franc.
Okay, well, let's talk about an issue that does come up each year, has come up certainly in the last few years, especially because you've got all these very wealthy, powerful people coming into this very wealthy, powerful place at a time when we hear that there's this new report from Oxfam saying 1% of the world's population holds half of the world's wealth. How is the topic of income inequality being tackled this year at Davos?
It's an important question. I'm glad you ask it because there's nothing that I've heard in the Valley, and I've been coming 9, 10, 11 years, there's nothing I've heard more awkward. They bring it up, they give it lip service, but within the seminars, you'd be shocked, Jeremy, at the struggle as economic professionals, and frankly, many less professional, try to deal with it.
Are they trying to come up with solutions to it?
Well, Davos is not much about solutions. It's mostly about yammering. And I think the critics have a lot of constructive points about the hot air that comes out of the Swiss Valley. Within that, there's less solutions is identifying a set of solutions that government and policy leaders can pick from or choose from. Frankly, Davos is following the discussion of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and other organizations. I would say they're a little bit behind on solutions, but actually, you know, it's the haves beginning to talk about it more.
We've heard as we've looked at various economic news around the world that the U.S., compared to the rest, it was described on this program as the prettiest dog in the kennel, that the U.S. economy is just doing better than most of the rest of the developed world, at least. Is that the sense at Davos?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I was going to call this, Jeremy, Davos divergent over this word divergence, where the U.S. is separate and aside. And there's a raging debate on Bloomberg Surveillance about whether that's true or not. I've renamed my time at Davos here as Davos Unpegged in response to the Swiss National Bank move. But within that, there's still this debate less about bringing the mediocre up to speed of the U.S., but much more is the U.S. is the lead train. Can it pull the rest of these economies forward? And I hear some real hesitation about that.
What about concerns about China? Are those playing heavily at Davos this year, China's economy slowing down?
Well, we saw China GDP today and the historical headlines get your attention. Some of the research notes I've seen, including Robert Cinch and Amherst Pierpont, are more optimistic and more constructive. The Chinese will come to Davos with a much greater delegation this year. And with that, I think they're on a learning curve about what to do not only with monetary policy, but what to do with their real economy. It's always interesting to see the geographic plays here between the Middle East, between Asia, and between the developed economies. Without question, though, the focus will be less on China and still much more on Europe. That's front and center because of that ECB meeting that we'll see Thursday.
ECB, you're talking about the European Central Bank. One more thing I want to ask you about, Tom Keene. You mentioned early on that people were talking about gay rights for the first time this year at Davos. What are they talking about?
I think it's a delicate issue. There are many, many issues at Davos, along with diversity and women's rights, that always get substantial visibility and lip service. And they're there and they're important. And some of those panels, not all, are fiercely attended. But I don't want to talk it up like you hear from the branding from the World Economic Forum, because mostly what Davos is about is a discussion of finance and economics and endless meetings for CEOs as they see their clients and customers. It's turned into one big network meeting that happens to have panels on gay rights, on diversity. They're front and center, but they're not as tangible Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as a lot of people would like you to think.
So if it's all about deal making, what kind of deals are you expecting?
Well, it's not so much deals. You know, it's not like some of the retreats in the Rocky Mountains in the media world where you see tangible announcements come out. It's much more about a given CEO. Let's pick on Brian Moynihan at Bank of America. Brian Moynihan jets in, and I'm going to think he meets with 20 or 30 or 40 of his customers worldwide, meet and greet, how you doing? Maybe they talk about some deals. But it's just, it is truly a constructive place for many CEOs to meet and greet within a multinational landscape.
Tom Keene, host of Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg TV and radio, joining us from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Tom Keene, thank you so much.
Wonderful to be with you.
And Tom Keene mentioned the cost of McDonald's in Switzerland. There is a Big Mac index that looks at the price of Big Macs around the world. And the latest index, which was before the surge in the Swiss franc, had Switzerland at number two, $6.83 for a Big Mac. Norway is number one at $7.76. The cheapest is Ukraine, $1.83. India is $1.75 for a Big Mac.